TV set all night
and every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do.
Hello, and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 3, I Can't Believe You Like That. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVholic from tvholic.com.
And I'm Amri from mytakeontv.com.
All right, so I'm going to go right into the news. I don't have much this week. There was actually a lot going on, but I only wrote down a few things, so we're just going to talk about those. The first up on my list is the big news that Fox has picked up Fringe for an entire season, a total of 22 episodes.
I think it's a good thing for the show.
If anything, it gives me the confidence to keep watching because I know that they aren't going to like pull the plug in two episodes. I don't have to be afraid about getting involved in the arc. And I'm hoping that, I know that JJ said in a previous interview sometime this summer that they have an end that they could do no matter when the end would be. So I'm hoping that if nothing else, if it makes it through a full season and Fox doesn't plan to bring it back, that they will let them know in time so they can film the quote-unquote end. So I feel pretty good about investing my time in the show now because of the full season pickup. All right. And the other news that just is like a little PS to that, we talked about Do Not Disturb being canceled last week, but it was finally this week that they announced it officially that it has been canceled. Moment of silence for Do Not Disturb.
Really? A moment of silence?
Yeah, that was an appropriate moment of silence. Okay.
I think the problem was is there were too many moments of silence when you were watching it.
So true. We're getting more laughter out of its cancellation than the show itself. All right. The CW has given a pilot commitment to the drama The Graysons, which is based on the life of Robin of Batman and Robin fame before he actually joins Batman. They're looking at this to be a possible replacement for Smallville if Smallville goes away this season. And also, if it doesn't go away, a companion piece to it. I don't know what that does for the other show that is currently paired with Smallville, but I'm not particularly worried about it because there's not been a whole lot of positive response to the description of the show online.
Why do they feel like they need another Before They Were Superheroes show?
I can't answer that. I would say that they're just trying to recapture that audience. They don't have a whole lot of other shows that capture the audience that Smallville has, so maybe they're just trying to find something that will keep those people with them if they get rid of Smallville. That's the only thing I can think. I just don't know what the potential of this show is. It wasn't like, he's not even like a superhero.
Right.
It's not like he has powers or anything, you know? He's just Batman's sidekick. So what was going on in his life before Batman? Do we care?
Yeah. Do we care that much? I don't know.
The life of the traveling circus.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Anyway, so that's the big news from the CW this week. The other stuff I've got is, one, Showtime will launch their newest scripted comedy, The United States of Tara, which stars Toni Collette. The big thing is that it's from Diablo Cody and Steven Spielberg. I think that's really what's getting it the most press.
Right.
And they are launching that on January 18th at 10 o'clock.
And they're showing confidence in it, too, because they put it between a brand new season of the last season of L Word and the new one of Secret Diary of a Call Girl.
Well, I'm not surprised that they're showing confidence in it.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
I've had the script to the pilot of this show for 6 months now, and I still haven't read it. I just can't get into it. But it doesn't mean it won't be a good show. I haven't been able to get into this, you know what I mean?
Right.
The script right away. And then other than that, I just have some casting news, which is Steven Weber will be showing up on ABC's Desperate Housewives this season. I will refrain from talking about what he will be showing up as, but I just thought it was interesting because we were just talking a couple weeks ago about how Steven Weber shows up everywhere.
He does. He shows up everywhere.
Not that I'm complaining, because I love me some Steven Weber.
Agreed.
And then the other piece of casting news I have is that Jesse McCartney will be showing up on ABC Family's Greek. He's showing up as an old friend of Calvin's, and we'll first see him probably early 2009. That's all she wrote, or that's all she looked up. Do you guys have any news that you saw this week that was particularly interesting to you?
No.
Jason?
No.
All right, then if nobody else has anything else, we're gonna take a little break, and then we'll be back with our topic of the week, which is all about unpopular opinions. Be right back.
Need an office network setup? Having trouble configuring your HDTV? Want to upgrade your computer memory but don't know how? Never fear, the Nerd Herd is here. You can now make service appointments online at www.nerdherdhelp.com. We're nerds and proud of it.
Hey gang, it's Amory. Don't forget to stop by my site, My Take on TV, where I give my take on what's going on in the world of television. Feel free to stop by and give your take too at mytakeontv.com.
Okay, we're back from the break, and now it's time for the topic of the day, which is unpopular TV opinions. Do you have a show that you like and nobody else seems to, or things about TV that you seem to be the only person that has that specific opinion, and everybody else seems to have the opposite view? What are those opinions?
Okay, I'll start, and I'll bring up one I know that Jason shares, which is that I actually like and find 2.5 Men funny. Yes, I've said it, people. It's true. I don't care what the rest of you say. I find it funny.
Yeah, that's it's one of those shows that ratings-wise, obviously, it doesn't seem like liking it would be an unpopular opinion, but sort of in the TV blogger world or critics or whatnot, they tend to, for the most part, a lot of the stuff I read is all about how it's not funny or it's terrible. And I can understand comedy is subjective, so some things you're just not going to like. But people not understanding why so many people like it is what I find interesting. The reason people like it is because it's accessible. It's not overly clever. It's not, you know, How I Met Your Mother or The Office or 30 Rock or something like that, where, you know, some of the stuff is like a joke within a joke and you really got to be paying attention to get what's going on. For 2.5 Men, it's pretty much built off of, you know, it's a setup and a punchline. And a lot of the comedy is built off of double entendre or the easy put down. But it's very well done. And, you know, it's put together very well. And the actors deliver the lines and have good chemistry with each other. And I laugh every time I watch it. And given a lot of the comedies or so-called comedies that keep coming about, I can't ask for much more than to laugh a handful of times in 22 minutes of an episode.
I agree. I don't tape it, but every time I tune in and watch it, I find it funny. And I find myself these days putting it on because the episodes rerun. Like, I have a 7, I think, to 8 o'clock block where they run it every day. And I watch it every once in a while. I'll just put that channel on and watch the reruns because I find it funny every time I watch it. I know that everybody else can't understand why it's funny, and I agree with you that it's surprising that people can't understand why other people find it funny. And as you said, online, I can't name one person besides you, Jason, who's admitted that they find it funny or that they like it. But I can name several people that I know offline who watch it and actually record it every week. So I find it interesting that there's such a difference in the, like, the general viewing public's opinion of it and the critic side opinion of it. And I guess it's like what you said. It's just your run-of-the-mill sitcom.
Well, for me, you know, just because it's not Arrested Development doesn't mean it's not funny. You know, it doesn't have to be so. There's room for both. And I do record it. It's not one of the first things I watch, but it usually gets watched before the next week just because it's funny and nonetheless is an unpopular opinion in the TV blogosphere.
I just don't like Charlie Sheen.
Why don't you like Charlie Sheen?
I really honestly couldn't give a reason other than I just don't like him.
He didn't kill somebody on a past show, did he?
No, he did not.
Okay, well, we talked about an unpopular opinion we have. Amory, do you have one that you have?
I think that my current unpopular opinion is that I don't want to watch Sarah Connor anymore. And everybody keeps telling me how amazing it is this season and how great it is. But I gave up after the season premiere. I didn't like the season premiere. And everybody likes it except me.
Well, I just have to point out that yours is like the exact opposite of ours. Because one, you don't like it. And everybody online likes it. But nobody's watching it.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, because not a lot of people are watching it. Like, a lot of people are watching 2.5 Men. But yet it has like the critical, you know, or the TV bloggers and stuff like that all seem to really like it.
Is there anything in particular about it that you don't like?
I just was not interested really in the premiere. And for me, it just, everybody else was saying how exciting it was. I didn't see that. Yeah, I mean, I thought that there were some good parts, like, you know, Cameron between the trucks saying how much she loves John and all that stuff. I thought that was cool. But I don't know. There's nothing, it's another, can't put a specific reason to it. I'm just not watching it.
So what about, like, different communities? Like, we were talking about, like, the general viewing audience versus, like, TV bloggers / critic, where we see, like, a difference in opinion there. But what about, like, when you have a fandom, like, I'll say the Supernatural fandom or the Moonlight fandom or the Jericho fandom, who feels a certain way about something, and yet almost everybody else, not that they feel the opposite, but they don't feel as strongly. So it ends up feeling like an unpopular opinion to the fandom people.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle anyway because I kind of go back and forth, I guess, is the best way to put it. So sometimes I struggle with an opinion that I have that the TV bloggers are like, yes, I agree. But the fandom people will be like, what? Are you crazy? Or, you know, the opposite way around. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I just thought it was food for thought.
Well, I'd say that on stuff like Moonlight and Jericho, inside of the, you know, the uber fandom of those shows, anything you say disparaging about it becomes a super unpopular opinion.
Well, like, okay, so my example would be maybe the Supernatural fandom is more where I'm coming from. Because, like, I have what I would consider to be unpopular opinions for the fandom. They are not necessarily unpopular, like, with other TV bloggers. For instance, if we have an episode that doesn't have both brothers in it, or if we have an episode that actually separates the brothers for the entire episode, I actually kind of like that because it's a little bit different than what we usually get. But if that happens, the Supernatural fandom, like, literally, they freak out because they like the brothers, and it always has to be the brothers together, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, Supernatural fandom. I'm not picking on you. I love you guys. But seriously, I like it to be a little different sometimes. So, like, I always feel like it's an unpopular opinion, and yet when I talk about liking those episodes, outside of the fandom, the people who respond to me like them too. So it's kind of a weird thing with unpopular opinions where sometimes it depends on where you're posting your opinion, I guess, whether it's unpopular or not.
Are there any characters that you like but other people don't like, or that other people like and you don't like?
From what? Anything?
I don't know. Well, see, my sister hated with a blinding rage Denny on Grey's Anatomy. And so even in the first, you know, in the 5 seconds that it appeared that he was in the premiere, she was so mad.
How but like, not like Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
That's the thing. That's a very unpopular opinion to me. Brains has a very unpopular opinion about that. Because Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you just can't.
I know. Brains, by the way, is Amory's sister.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
For those not in the know. that's an odd one. It goes back to Supernatural, but I do have one. I really liked Joe, and the majority of the people I knew didn't like Joe. Or, see, this is another example of how it's Supernatural fandom. The majority of the people in Supernatural fandom did not like Joe. I didn't get the feeling that other people didn't like her as much, but I kind of loved her. And I'm very sad that she's no longer there. Stupid people who didn't like my characters.
Well, that brings up another one. Like, kind of on a love triangle thing, I did not like, and this is on Veronica Mars, Duncan. Did not like him. Could not stand him.
But did you not like him because of who he was as a character, or did you not like him because you didn't like Teddy?
I think because of who he was as a character. I love Teddy Dunn.
See, I think that's okay. Like, I think it's okay to not like a character because of the character traits, because mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Like, I liked not liking Duncan. Because if that makes sense. Like, I liked the fact that I could feel okay not liking him because of the things he did as a character. I didn't necessarily like the people who disliked Duncan because it was Teddy playing Duncan. Like, that's the same way I feel about not liking Joe just because, like, you don't like the introduction of a female character. Or
right.
Maybe not liking Denny because you don't like Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I don't know if that's why Brains doesn't like Denny, but or if it's strikes you wrong about him.
Well, that definitely is an unpopular opinion on Denny, because the reason they keep bringing him back in these little flashes and stuff is because so many people seem to really like him. And so they keep, even though they killed him off, they keep trying to figure out a way, you know, to bring him back in little dream sequences or. But I have a question, is having an unpopular opinion, do you tend to, in certain places, keep them to yourselves if you know that your opinion is going to be unpopular, or do you just go say it anyways and take the wrath of whatever community you're talking to?
I think we know where I stand. No, really. For the most part, I'm not afraid to say that I'm not afraid to declare my unpopular opinion. I don't feel like I should be ashamed of any opinion I have about TV. Like, I don't feel like anybody else should be ashamed of anything they feel about TV. Or anything in life, really. Like, you have a right to feel the way you feel, I guess. But you have to take care if you're going to, like, post an entire rant about it on your website.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're going to, say, for instance, call One Tree Hill a wretched beast, you might have people who respond to it with their own posts on their own websites and say that you're an idiot. Well, I don't think she called me an idiot. I'm sorry, random girl who I don't know. You didn't call me an idiot, but you didn't like my opinion, that's for sure.
have you ever taken an unpopular opinion just to be different, or, you know, to create a conversation or something like that in a certain group? Or
that could almost be where my 2.5 men aversion comes from.
To be different?
I don't like, not to be different, but I just...
Everybody doesn't like it.
To conform, I don't know.
Or do you take an opinion to conform to the TV blogosphere? Or are you trying to be different than the popular culture that seems to like the show?
I don't know. See, there's another show that I try... You kind of hide your unpopular opinion on. I mean, amongst people that I've talked to regarding Secret Life of the American Teenager, my friends and stuff aren't afraid to say how much they dislike it. But I almost feel, because of how great we're treated by ABC Family and the people that work with the show, I feel in certain areas, you know, less inclined to say that it's just wretched. Do you know what I mean?
That you're not afraid to say that on podcast?
I apologize to whoever's listening. You know what I mean?
No. It brings up a good point, actually, because we are TV bloggers and we do get information from the networks, or we get information from PR people for, you know, reaching out on behalf of the networks. Does that impede on your likeliness to air an unpopular opinion? Like, I might hold back on saying I dislike something, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel a certain affinity to the people behind the scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, getting screeners and stuff like that ahead of time, when you come across something that is terrible, like Knight Rider, which the unpopular opinion, I guess, in that case would be if you liked it. Yeah, how much does the thought process seep into you being a TV blogger? How often does it, and how hard is it to give out an opinion on something that, you know, these people are sending me the information, I don't really want to piss them off, but then I don't want to just be a parrot blog that just says everything's great either.
Right.
Well, I think that when they send it out, they kind of expect that there are going to be people who don't like it, and that there are going to be bad reviews out there, but a bad review is still better than no review, because it still at least gets the show out there. Do you know what I mean? Like,
even bad press is good press.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I guess it probably is true, because it'll get people curious enough to check it out themselves, and then they get to make their own opinion about it. Versus, like, if you're not talking about it all and they're not seeing the commercials for it, then they don't know it's on to even check it out. So I think that to some degree, when they send it to you, they're not asking you to, like, say it's good or anything. But it does, like I said, affect how I might pan. Like, if I don't like something, I'm not going to write about it most of the time. Like, that's just generally my view on it. If I'm giving a review, I might talk about how I don't like something. But in general, like, I stopped writing about One Tree Hill because I don't like it. And I don't want to talk about something I don't like. I don't want to waste my energy on that. So in general, if I get something that I don't really like, then I probably just won't talk about it. And I, on the other side of that, I try to make sure that I don't pursue opportunities that they give me for something that I didn't like, or something I know I'm not going to talk about. Like, I'm not going to take a conference call for a show that I'm not going to watch and I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though there's a part of me that wants to take any conference call I can get so that I'll get more, I just don't feel like it's responsible of me to take opportunities that I know that I'm not going to post. Like, I'm not going to talk about this show, so I'm not going to take one interview with it and then post that interview and then never talk about the show again, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And we're totally off.
I was just going to say, so sort of to wrap up the unpopular TV opinions, I'd say for me, or for all of us, it seems like we're not necessarily afraid to put our unpopular opinions out there.
Mm-mm.
And some of us may even relish the fact a little more than the others to do so.
Who are you trying to talk about? I don't relish it. I'm just not afraid to say it.
I don't know.
I don't relish, like, I don't try to put an unpopular opinion out there just to get responses, which I think some people do. And I think some people actually... Maybe this goes along with what you were saying before, as a conversation starter, put it out there. But I think sometimes they're putting it out there to get traffic to their website, or, you know what I mean? Like, they're purposely trying to cause a little controversy to build up their traffic, is my own personal opinion sometimes when I read something. But I don't try to do that. I just sometimes, one, I have rants. I get to the point where I can't stand something and I have to just say it. Or the other side of it is that I hear so many people saying the one side that I feel like I want to represent the other side, just because it is where I stand. So I'm not afraid to stand up and say I don't like something. I am who I am. You like me or you don't like me.
Take it or leave it.
Exactly. Wait, before we finish up on the topic, I did want to go around the table and ask everybody, other than the ones we've mentioned, name off one unpopular opinion that you have. Anyone?
I need a minute to think about this. I did not hate George and Izzy. But everywhere I read, it was everybody was so against it. I was not.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd fall on that same side. Grey's Anatomy might be just a good example. As it's a great show that some just seem to need to take shots at it. There's always something wrong with it. There's some coupling that they don't like, or some character that's on there that they don't like, or, you know, they get rid of a character and they don't like that.
Do you think that's just because it's like a large ensemble type of show? So there's a lot of opportunity for people not to like something. So there's a lot of opportunity for people to have varying opinions about that particular show.
Yeah, I think so. Well, partially probably because it has such a large audience. But sometimes it seems to be, they have to find something that they don't. Like, if they're not complaining about something on the show and I...
Right, that's a whole nother topic. Because I think there are those people.
they have to, like, find something to complain about. And I would be on the other side of most of those.
Mine would be the fact that I do not like Tina Fey and therefore cannot get into 30 Rock.
And so Tina Fey is your Charlie Sheen?
Yeah. I was thinking that when she was talking about Charlie Sheen, that Tina Fey is. And then I'm the same way. There's nothing I can identify that I don't like about Tina Fey. And it's not like I don't like Tina Fey. I don't know Tina Fey. I don't have a dislike for Tina Fey. I mean that I don't find Tina Fey funny. And the majority of the people in the world seem to find her funny. So it leaves.
I don't know
her.
About the majority of people in the world, but definitely in the TV industry, she's the she's definitely the darling of the hour.
I think that just from what I've seen of Tina Fey, I would love Tina Fey in person, like as a person. I just don't get her humor. So she never really worked for me on Saturday Night Live, and she doesn't really work for me on 30 Rock. So as much as people want me to love the show, I just can't do it. And I know that that's an unpopular. Every time I bring it up, they're like, there are gaps.
That would be true if you said that you don't like 30 Rock and you like, but
Two
you
and
like
a half men.
Two and a Half Men.
Yes, that's definitely going to
that'll definitely draw gaps from the that'll
I think Ray
definitely
and I can be friends.
Yes, exactly, Amory. Those are the kind of responses I get. I say it and people like look at me with shock and then be like, we can't be friends. And that's when I actually don't like shout to the hills. I'm saying it here on the podcast, so I guess I'm shouting it to the hills now, but I don't say it unless I'm pressed, because people do sometimes like try to force me to like 30 Rock and I'm just like, stop it. You can't force me to like Tina Fey, so stop. Anyway, that was my big one.
I sort of thought of one maybe here with the shows like House and Grey's Anatomy. People get bored or they don't like the procedural aspect of it, the medical case of the week, and they complain that you get a case, you try some things, they don't work, you try some more things, sooner or later there's an epiphany and the case is solved, and people complain about that. I take the opposite side of most of those complaints, and if you're watching the show and you're complaining about the proceduralness of sort of the case of the week, then you're completely missing the show, because it's not really about the case of the week. The case of the week is just the device to move the story of the rest of the characters and how they intertwine. I'd fall on the other side saying that the show is so much more than just the case of the week, that if you're complaining about the case of the week, that then you're completely missing what the show is about.
Gotcha. That's a good one.
And that's all she wrote on unpopular opinions. At the end of the show, we'll give you a number where you can call in and give us, your take on our opinions and whether you think they are unpopular or not, and tell us some of your own unpopular TV opinions that you have with your group of friends or people you talk to TV about. Now we'll go to a short break and we'll come back with our wrap-up of last week on Prime Time.
Are you a prospective evildoer? Did you try to take over the world last night? Then the Evil League of Evil is seeking you. For more information on how to apply, see our website at evilleagueofevil.com.
Want to know what's on TV tonight? Or better yet, want to know what's on that's actually worth watching each night? Then check out TVHolic.com, where we help you find the prime and prime time.
Welcome back from the break. Let's start with our primetime wrap-up for the week. So let's start with Sunday. Is there anything that anybody watched on Sunday that really stood out?
The Amazing Race.
Yeah. Yay, The Amazing Race. I watched it too. And I already pick a favorite. And I always get really upset when I pick a favorite in the first episode and then I don't see them do well. But I think that I picked a good team.
And why is that?
Because I think that Brothers and Sisters are awesome. And Nick and Star can go all the way. Yay, Nick
I thought
Star.
We were talking about The Amazing Race right now. No, I'm just teasing. yes, it would seem that you picked a good team since they came in first.
Right, exactly. And let me just also say that I didn't pick them because they won. I'm not a front runner. I picked them in the beginning, and then they
sure,
won.
That's what you say. I'm just teasing you. Nick and Star, they're very good. I actually picked them as my second favorite, but my favorite would be Tony and Dallas, the mother and son team. I just thought that they were very cute together, and they didn't do so hot, but they didn't do bad. Like, they were in the middle of the pack, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, if you're in the middle of the pack from the beginning, then you just kind of fly under the radar, and then bam, you win at the end. So
Exactly. Right now, that's who I'm betting on to win. We'll see how often this changes. I'm just excited it's back.
Yeah, me too. Is there any, I mean, other shows on Sunday, everything was good. I don't have anything to say about anything I didn't want to see again from Sunday, but is there anything else that anybody really wanted to bring up?
What did you guys think of the 5-year jump ahead on Desperate Housewives?
I liked it better than I thought I was going to like it.
I just thought that, I mean, yeah, they changed a little bit, but I still kind of feel like at the core, the women are the same people that they were. Terry Hatcher's still, you know, needy and whiny, and Lynette's still like a crazed, over-involved mother. I don't know. I have to give it another week or two.
Yeah, I would feel like they didn't really change it, but I think they gave themselves. They achieved the goal of the jump forward, which I think is to be able to keep your characters as they are, but still have fresh stories for them.
Right, new stories, which is what they needed because they were running out. But I'm interested to see when, because I know that, you know, Andrea Bowen's coming back as Julie. I'm interested to see how she plays older.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That brings up the question that I had is I want to know if the 5-year jump ahead makes all the actresses now playing more age appropriate, like the jump did on One Tree Hill.
To me, there's not as much of a drastic difference between like 35 and 40 as there is between 18 and 23. So I think that it's not as big a deal.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I think that at that age, you get to the point where like that middle time frame, I don't think people really distinguish. They maybe distinguish 10 years difference, but even then, I don't think you distinguish it as much as you do when you're 18 versus out of college.
Right.
But that's why it'll be interesting to see Julie.
The Julie thing will be, I don't know, I guess like them trying to make Claire on Heroes look older in the when they jump ahead into the future.
Darken her hair and...
It doesn't work for me just because you've just seen her at the other age, so
it
takes a couple episodes, I think, to adjust to that.
All right. So I think that might be it for Sunday, unless anybody has any additional Sunday thoughts.
Nope.
All right, moving on to Monday. Monday's a huge night still. Ray was probably happy this past Monday because your show returned.
I was. I had like a 3-hour block on Monday that was just great. I loved it. Chuck, Heroes, and Life.
That is a good 3 hours of TV right there.
It is. I love Chuck Bartowski. I just thought I'd put that out there.
I am not disagreeing. I love him too. Jason does too. He just doesn't want to say it.
Jason's drawing hearts around Chuck's name on his paper right now.
That's right. On my peachy folder.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I watched, you know what I watched Monday that I really wanted to bring up? Prison Break. I watch Prison Break every Monday, but for some reason, this week's episode was just so good. It was kind of taking it back to, I don't want to say old Prison Break, but where kind of everything was a guess. You weren't sure how it was going to end up. They totally tricked you into believing that they were shutting down the power for their heist, but they were actually, you know, doing it from a home. And I just thought it was really cool.
They tricked you into that?
Well, not really tricked you, but like, you know, they had been talking about how they weren't going to go get Mahone, and then they went to the power search, and they were going to do the power search on the building they had to go into, and then, you know, they had the whole elaborate get Mahone out of the prison type of thing, and I just thought it was interesting, because I like Mahone, and I don't want him to be killed.
I'm liking the, it's sort of like Ocean's 11 to me this season. And then I also like getting a little backstory on Gretchen was kind of interesting.
I agree. That was probably my most interesting part of the episode was seeing Gretchen's daughter. Or seeing that she had a daughter.
Right. I like the shoes she was wearing when she stood on T-Bag's face.
They're kind of impractical.
Yeah, they are. I was thinking that, too. They're very impractical, but...
But, you know, you could... I was thinking it... Like, I literally, like, had this discussion in my head in the shower. This is what I think about in the shower, people. I was thinking about how she was wearing those shoes and how it was impractical, and I wish they would, like, show women wearing, like, boots or, like, wearing shoes, you know what I mean? Like, for these type of situations.
Yeah.
And I was like, but it wouldn't be as dramatic if you, like, put your heel in somebody's face versus, like, a really spiked heel. Like, a combat heel versus a spiked heel. So I was like, okay, I'll give him that. It looks cooler when it's the spiked heel pushing up against his neck.
Anything else on Monday?
I wanted to mention, well, two things. One, I really, really liked the Cameron backstory on Terminator and Sarah Connor. I thought they did, it really gave Summer Glau something more than, she got to actually do something expressive.
Right.
Which was, I liked the story, and I liked it enough that I want to see more of it. I want to see what happens, you know, next on that, you know, when she gets the bracelet and heads for the camp, and how she ends up getting reprogrammed and stuff like that.
I'm afraid now that it'll turn out that she's not good. I'm a little afraid that what that means is that she is a robot still in disguise.
Robot like in disguise. Is anybody thinking that? Okay.
I was totally thinking that.
It's all musical all the time here. I just am afraid now that that's where they're, not that that's necessarily where they're going, but they could be going that way because we saw how good she was at pretending.
Mm. And an interesting story really for them to, yeah. I mean, that could be something they can explore should Fox keep them.
Yeah, that's a fear. Whether they'll keep them or not is a big fear, but hopefully they will.
I wanted to mention one other thing on Big Bang Theory about what they're doing with Penny and Leonard. I don't know. I wish they would have given us, the viewers, like a couple of episodes or so of actually seeing them try instead of having their one date take place between the end of last season and the beginning of this season and then heading down the path they are now. Not that they shouldn't be heading down the path that they are now, that it's going to provide, I'm sure, plenty of comic moments, like, you know, since they still kind of want to, you know, try things out with each other. But it just seemed like it went too fast to where they are now. Just, I don't know.
That's, is Sarah Gilbert
my thoughts on.
A regular? Or did they just bring her back for a couple episodes, like for one episode?
I think they added her as sort of a recurring character this season.
Oh, okay.
So I think she'll be on more regularly.
For a moment there, I thought perhaps they were going to try to pair her with Sheldon.
Because I got that feeling in this past episode, like just how much they hate each other. That's like classic sitcom. They hate each other so much, they're secretly dating.
Right. I don't get the feeling that they're secretly dating yet, but I just got the feeling that they might be going that direction.
Exactly.
As for the Penny and Leonard, I kind of agree, but I also feel like it's somewhat realistic that they kind of try to do the date thing and then, because they were friends and they were already worried about what the dating would do, that instantly put them off of trying to do it. And since, I guess I feel that way partly because it was so clear that they still both have feelings and both really do kind of want to do the dating thing, and they're just letting something get in the way of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess it'll be interesting to see how much longer they stretch that out.
Yeah, it just seemed kind of weird though with the, you know, like all the talking with Penny and Sheldon last week and stuff, and then, you know, Leonard says one stupid thing at the end of the episode and then it's like over, sort of, you know, it kind of was weird.
That's one of those things we'll have to tune in to find out. Anything else on Monday? Moving on to Tuesday. Tuesday was busy too.
It was.
No, I'll bring something up. Tuesday, I was saying I'm very happy because I really liked the Mentalist pilot. Really, really, really liked it. I was very happy that episode two kept up what they did in the pilot. I thought it was really good.
I thought it was really good. And I like the little things they do, like to show his, I hope they do more of those type of things, like the rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
To showcase these skills that he has. Because that scene watching the sheriff get, you know, kept changing and lost every time. That was pretty funny. The thing I really liked about the show is you know, you're kind of going through and they give you, on a show like this, they give you all kinds of possible suspects of who it could be. And so you're kind of going through, kind of guess, is it who he thinks it is or is it somebody else? And I was, you know, I thought it was going to be, there was a point in the episode where I thought it was going to be the wife of the chef. I was happy that at the end I was half right.
Right.
And, but yet you still weren't quite sure. Anytime you're actually, you're like, yeah, I kind of knew that, but it was a little different than you thought it was going
to
be.
I did have to say that this is the one show that during this week I had multiple people come up and tell me about the show as if I didn't know it existed. And also one friend last night when I had dinner with the girls came up and was like, I just have to tell you that my favorite show of the new season is The Mentalist. And then proceeded to want to talk to me about this week. And I was like, don't tell me. So I just had to bring that up. So I think other people are also really.
Well, I didn't know that you hadn't watched it yet or I wouldn't have said anything.
It's okay. I got where you were going and I muted my microphone and I will just watch it before I edit this.
my next thing was, so you guys probably watched House. I don't know, Ray, did you watch House? I know Jason really did.
I did.
Yeah,
Jason loves House. I really, really, really like the private investigator.
Yeah, I like him too. I thought it sort of hit home with the way the episode ended with them both playing instruments. And even though the guy is, you know, like say, you know, he's just a PI or whatever, he's obviously very smart himself. And it hit me that he's House. He's just House in a different profession and much more likable, you know, and personable as, you know,
and
as
a winning.
Person.
He wins in the Cuddy thing because he's getting Cuddy.
I thought it was good, and I also like the PI guy, but I don't have a lot of deep thoughts about House. Because I'm just kind of getting back into House. Like, I haven't really been watching it, so I've been watching it this season. So I still don't really, I'm still just kind of feeling my way into it right now. So that's why I was being quiet. I don't really have a whole lot to.
Yeah, I don't have much to add beyond that. I mean, Breckenmeyer, I thought, did a fantastic job. But he's another guy that I always see in the same role over and over again. Anyway, so moving on to other shows, because I think that's, unless anybody has anything else to add about House. No. Going once. Okay. Privilege was on, and I don't care. I don't really have a lot to discuss about it, but I wanted to mention it because I love it.
I agree.
Anything else worth mentioning on Tuesday?
The only other thing I've got is Fringe, and I just wanted to say that I really liked this week because it was more on the, like, overall mystery than, like, the mystery of the week. So I really liked what they did this week. But that's all I've got on it. I don't really have a lot to say about it, just that I liked it more this week than I have the past 2 weeks.
Alrighty. Moving to Wednesday now. My favorite TV show in the history of the universe, well, maybe not the history of the universe, but currently started on Wednesday, and only a few people watched it. Pushing Daisies started at 8.
This is what I have to say about Pushing Daisies, and then I will shut up and you guys can refute my opinion. I will admit that I am a big, huge fan of Pushing Daisies. I love it. However, I really didn't love, like, the first 20 minutes of the show. And there's a couple reasons why. One, I mean, I don't really mind that it was, like, a really long previously. That didn't really bother me, especially because we got new information in the previously. However, what I didn't like was that it was almost too much, and possibly because they did it without a commercial break, it was too much immediately. Like, Jim Dale, I love his narration, but it was just too much of the narration. And I found it, as somebody who actually loves the show, I found it really hard to follow, which made me think that people who don't love the show, who are just tuning in, would probably find it really hard to follow. Like, it just felt too rushed, I think, was the problem. And maybe if there'd been a commercial break in there, which really wouldn't have made sense because it wouldn't have then fit into the previously, but maybe if it had had that kind of little break in it, it might have been better. Once it got past the previously, I loved the episode. So I think I really just had a problem with that initial part, and I just thought it was too much of the narration and too much information at once, which is why I didn't really love it as much as I loved the rest of the episode, which was the bee's knees.
I can see that, but I can also see why they were doing the longer previously was trying to give something to what they were hoping would be new people checking out the show. But when you added that section of probably was like 4 minutes long or something like that to what would have been like the normal, it made it, it was like it was 19 minutes before the, right, before the first commercial break, which was a really extended long time, like you were saying, to have all that stuff happening. It kind of was a sort of an assault to the senses.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt. And I felt like anybody who hadn't previously committed to the show, I felt would feel like that was too much. Like they were being bombarded by a show that they hadn't even decided that they were going to like yet. Of course, my other feeling on the ratings was just that I feel like ABC should wait another week before they count the ratings, because I just don't feel like there's been a lot of promotion for these shows.
You're right, there hasn't been.
And not just like promotion, but it's been so long since these shows have been on that people are out of the habit of sitting down to watch these shows on these nights. And yes, we're slowly getting back into it as our other shows return. But I think that you have to wait a week or two before you really get a feel for how many of those people are coming back. And more so than Pushing Daisies, I think the ratings for Private Practice probably show that, because Private Practice was bringing in great ratings last season. And I don't think they lost all those fans over the summer. I think that those people just don't realize it's back until they like sit down at their DVR this week and are like, hey, look, there's a new episode of Private Practice on my DVR. And then they realize, oh, I need to tune in on Wednesday.
Well, I think also ABC, for whatever reason, they decided to put their Wednesday night lineup not really a part of, you know, they pushed it back a week. I mean, that was kind of because of the Dancing with the Stars takes over, like when it first premieres or whatever. But it was kind of, it was kind of weird. They've been advertising, you know, their national stay-at-home week, which is 2 weeks long, you know, which is kind of weird. And so I don't know. I don't know if it would have started and been in the midst of all their other promotion for everything else that was new, if it would have, you know, picked back up better or something like that. But I'm still sort of flabbergasted that Knight Rider did higher ratings in its second week than, not just that it did higher ratings than it did the first week, but it did it higher ratings than Pushing Daisies.
Yeah, I don't have anything to America.
Yes, yeah. Imagine Ray shaking her fist in the air menacingly. Oh, America!
I don't know about my fist. I was just shaking my head.
I was
just nodding my head at America.
But I think
it's the same thing. Like, they know that Knight Rider's on. Yeah. Unpopular opinion too. But I just think that, like, they know it's on.
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
They tuned in. You know what I mean? Like, it was on last week, so they kind of heard about it, so they tuned in this week. And I think that that's the same problem with the other shows. They didn't realize they were on, right. So they didn't tune into them.
That's what happened. Came back from the strike, too.
I mean, exactly. Like, it took a little while before you realize, because you get out of the habit. Even when it's one of the shows you love, if you're not like us, you get out of the habit of sitting down every Wednesday night to watch something. And even if you've been told it's coming back, like, if we keep a schedule of when things are coming back, we know exactly, oh, I need to be home this Wednesday night. I need to know, like, you know, I need to set my DVR, whatever. Other people right. just don't do that. They have to, like, find out that it's back and be like, oh shit, I need to watch. So I think that I'll probably turn out to be wrong, but I'm waiting to see next week's ratings before
Not
I
judgments.
Make any
yeah.
real judgment about it. Yeah.
All right. What else did everybody watch on Wednesday? I just want to say that I thought Sons of Anarchy's episode this week was one of the best ones that they've done. I think it was the best one so far. Episode 5. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it was really great.
Yeah. I haven't watched it.
Yeah. I haven't
it yet.
Gotten to it yet.
Nothing to add to that. I did watch. I watched several things, but I don't have a lot to say about any of them.
I have one more thing to add about Wednesday, and it's I'm officially obsessed with Ghost Hunters. That's all I really need to say. I find myself watching it whenever I can, and it's kind of creepy. There's my confession for the week.
I would like to say that that was partly because of your experience last weekend.
It absolutely was, but now I'm just like, oh my god, that happened. I remember being there when something like that happened, so I feel like I can...
That's like a sign that what they're sending you to do those type of things is get you hooked on those.
Exactly, shows. Exactly. And I guess we can move on to Thursday now. What did everybody watch?
Supernatural.
Oh, Supernatural. That was so good. Ugh.
It was so good. And I just have to say right now, to all of the people who didn't watch because Sam wasn't in it, I think you owe it to yourself to watch it.
Yeah.
I will understand if you don't love the episode the way I loved the episode because Sam wasn't there, but it was still a really good episode. And several of the people I saw out there who love Sam, who were upset that he was gone, still really liked the episode. So I think that if you boycotted it, you need to watch. And I would hope that you're not listening to this because we're about to talk about it.
Yeah.
I really loved it. My favorite part about it was just like learning the history of their family and finding out that Mary was the hunter mm-hmm. and not John.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought that it turned whatever we were thinking about John Winchester and Mary Winchester on its head. And I feel like I previously was thinking of John equals Dean and Sam equals Mary. And I now think that Mary equals Dean and Sam equals John. And that's partly why at the beginning of season one, and I'm probably going too deep into the story at the moment, but at the beginning of season one, like, you know, there was a little bit of talk about how John didn't really press Sam into becoming a hunter when he and Dean kind of went off and did it and Sam went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think I understand why, because John saw himself in Sam. So I thought it was really fascinating. And I love it when they turn it on its head and make, like, the woman the strong one
right.
in the family. So I really loved that.
What I really loved, and there's one scene in particular that just blew my mind. Jensen Ackles, I don't think, has ever been better than he is this season. And the scene where Dean has to tell Mary, you know, whatever, don't get out of bed. Don't interrupt.
Oh, it was so good.
It was brilliant.
Didn't you just want to give him a hug?
I did.
I just wanted to give him a hug.
I wanted to marry him.
It was making me cry.
Yeah.
Well, I want to marry him all the time, but at that particular moment, I wanted to give him a hug. I love Jensen Ackles. Just had to say it. All right. That's all I had to say about Thursday.
Oh, yeah. There's not much else. Oh, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia this week was so good.
It really was.
Mac and Charlie Die Parts 1 and 2.
I was like crying. I was laughing so hard at some of the things they were doing.
Me too.
Those two.
Oh, those two guys.
Not just them. I was actually laughing at Dee a lot too because... just Dee's like reaction to everything, her being pissed off about her car, and the fact that Dennis and Frank didn't believe her when she was saying that they're not dead.
Right.
It was so funny.
The Dennis and Frank storyline, though, kind of creeped me out.
Yeah. They've been creeping me out, actually, for a couple episodes now, and I've just been trying to ignore it. So.
Right.
And I kind of expected it was going to go that way just when they first found the glory hole.
Right, right.
And we're talking about it. And I was like, they're like, well, there's a wall. It doesn't matter. I can pretend. And I was like, okay, where are we going with this? Typically, it's Mac who's the, that conversation would normally involve Mac.
Right.
Like in previous seasons. You know what I mean? Like that would be a conversation you'd expect Mac to have. So when it was Dennis having it and Frank having it, I was like, okay, where are we going? Still, it was very funny.
Jason, did you watch TV on Thursday?
No, the only thing I watched on, well, other than the debate, the only thing I watched TV-wise was Smallville on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to get, you know, sort of a little bit of background on Oliver Queen. It was actually more interesting to get the background on Tess Mercer, that they knew each other and what happened. It actually makes me want to know the next leg in that story, right, of her backstory. I hope in future episodes we'll get more backstory of how it is she went from what marine biologist or whatever to being the chosen one to take over for, you know, Lex if something happened to him or something.
How is the season without Michael Rosenbaum and Kristen Kuick? Is it different?
It's kind of weird to not have, you know, sort of not have Lex Luthor in it. It's not that weird to not have Lex Luthor, just because, you know, you would think after a while these characters sort of have to go apart so that there's a time where, you know, he can, like, before they, you know, they would be going up against each other all the time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the overall storyline, it doesn't really bother me that much that he's not there. But it is kind of, well, I mean, a lot of people never really liked the Kristen's character or what have you on the show, that right, there was too much Clark and Lana or whatever. But it is kind of weird for her not to be there at all.
All right. Anything else for Thursday that anybody can think of? No. Moving on then to Friday. What did everybody watch on Friday? The only thing I watched that I am excited to talk about, because Ghost Whisperer or whatever, I watched it to review it, but it's not a show I watch religiously. But I love Life. And we mentioned it on Monday, but I want to say it again, because the ratings for Friday night's Life were terrible compared to the ratings for Monday night's Life, like a 74% drop-off, which worries me because it's a Friday night show. But I thought the Friday night's episode was so good. And Charlie Cruz, Damian Lewis could not be hotter. Sorry.
It's so true. I'm so in love with that man right now. I don't know if I'm in love with Charlie Cruz or if I'm in love with Damian Lewis, but I'm in love with him because he looked
Yeah, they
hot.
Need to put him in jeans and a button down so often and all the time.
Exactly. Well, there's just something. He was like really kind of confident in it too. Like,
exactly.
Something the way he wears it was hot. I can't deny it. It's so true. I actually loved both episodes. I don't have a lot to say about them. I loved them both. If the ratings are down, I suspect that it's somewhat because it's Friday. But yeah. I also suspect, like, if you watched it on Monday, like, unless you were really paying attention, you probably didn't realize that it was on again on
exactly.
Friday. Like, I hate
you probably think it's on
thing.
Monday again.
Right. Like, it's great for people like us who really watch it. Like, we get two new episodes a week. Mm-hmm. But, like, for other people, I think it confuses them when there's two new episodes.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is they're going to tune in again on Monday and be like, what the hell? Did I miss an episode?
When did Christian Slater join Life? That's what they're going to say.
That doesn't start this Monday.
No, but I'm saying, never mind.
Okay, yeah.
When they tune in 2 weeks and they don't know it's on Fridays, they're going to be like, what the heck? This guy from a hockey movie? I also watched Sanctuary, which I think I'm in the minority in liking it. But I think, like you said, it has a lot to do with, you know, since I went away for the weekend. And I got to meet Amanda. Just knowing how invested she is in the show made me like it more, I think.
I didn't watch, so I have no commentary.
You know, Jason's review said it was slow.
It was like, you know, it just kind of kept going and going. And you were just like, okay, is something's going to happen here soon. Please, something happen. You know? But I don't know. It has the... I mean, it has potential just from the, you know, the setup where, you know, they get to be able to come up and create, you know, all mm-hmm. kinds of cool and creepy and interesting creatures. You know, the floor sort of wide open on what they can do with that stuff. I just hope they give the show just it doesn't need a lot. It just needs a little bit more pace. It almost seemed like they could have told that story. I don't know. It just dragged on for me. On the other hand, the technical aspect of it is totally awesome.
Yeah, I mean, totally awesome.
Seeing any of the scenes where you see it in green screen and then they show you the same scene, that is really well done. That is pretty incredible.
I think too that, I mean, it was a pilot, so they had to fill a lot of like, here's why this happened and here's why this happened and here's who I am and here's who we are. I think as it goes, we'll be able to just kind of get right into the story and see what Will and Helen and Ashley do week to week, like what creatures they're fighting or whatever, versus who is Will and who is Ashley and who is Helen. So I think it'll step up the pace. I hope it does. I hope it does well, just because of just a personal relationship. So,
well, just one other thing on that. I think maybe it also is maybe they're trying to figure out. I never watched the web series, so, but I'm thinking, since the show was sort of in, like, I think 15-minute increments or whatever for the web episodes. And so, I don't know, maybe there was a little bit of trouble figuring out pacing or something like that and translating it into something that's going to be in an hour and then was 2 hours for the premiere.
Right. Because I know that they reshot, like, everything. Like, nothing's used over from the webisodes. I know that they're going to use storylines from the webisodes. But, it was a different beast for them to approach it on a full scale. All right. I think that's it for primetime this week. We're going to go to a little break, and we'll be back to wrap up.
Hey, guys, it's Ray. Are you looking to talk about TV with people who love it as much as you do? Then check out my blog at ramblingsofatvwhore.com, where we're passionate about TV, and it shows.
Massive Dynamic, wiring you into the world.
And that's a wrap for this week. Tune in next week when our topic of discussion will be spoilers, what exactly constitutes a spoiler, and don't worry, we will not be spoiling you. We'll just be talking about spoilers in general, not actual spoilers.
If you'd like to give us feedback or comments, or you have thoughts about your own unpopular opinions or spoilers for next week's discussion, just give us a call at 206-350-6869.
I just want to let everybody know that our intro and outro music was once again provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. Check our podcast notes for more information about the song and for any links or things from the rest of our podcast at www.tvtimes3.com. And that's a wrap, you guys.
That's
see
a wrap.
You next week.
Day
goodbye,
by
Jason.
Day.
Goodbye, Jason.
Goodbye.
Bye. And we're recording. I apologize.
That was awesome. That was totally awesome.